This podcast is part of the Everyday Heroes Podcast Network, the network for first responders and those who support them.
And right. So it's just like this balance and this acceptance that that is a possibility, but it's also being vulnerable and saying that's a possibility, but I am going to love them anyway.
Welcome to the Off Duty Podcast, the podcast where we interview the men and women of law enforcement and help you to learn about the person behind the badge. If this is your first time tuning in, thank you. My name is Anthony McNeil, retired police officer and your host. Let's get started. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode number 58 of the Off Duty Podcast. Once again, it's me, your boy, Anthony McNeil, back with another fantastic guest joining me on the podcast. This young lady has spent 13 years in the profession. She was voted Officer of the Year. She decided to leave the profession in 2020. She's from the state of Ohio, and she is now a first responders wellness coach, along with yoga instructor. Please help me welcome Miss Amanda DeZante. Amanda, thank you for joining me on the podcast. I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to join me today. And if you have listened to the podcast, you guys know how I lead each episode off. And that's very simply, why law enforcement?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And the million-dollar question, if I could quote one of my very good friends and mentors, because it's the greatest profession on earth. That was my best friend, or my good friend, Sarah Shendy. She is quite an inspiration to me, but it's funny how the answer to this question has evolved as I've gone on my own journey to kind of discovering who I am outside of uniform. And as a little kid, I grew up out in the middle of nowhere. I was an only child. My parents got divorced when I was young. And I kind of always had a little bit of this like lone wolf mentality. And my parents instilled this like very black and white idea of right and wrong. And I kind of always just had this sense of, you know, when something's wrong, somebody needs to do something about it. And so as I grew up, I still had that lone wolf mentality, but I kind of wanted to be a part of something bigger than myself. And in having this, you know, deep sense of right and wrong and justice, and it just called to me. And you know, it's a calling. And so it kind of just morphed and evolved into law enforcement. And I'm so glad it did.
Yeah. Now, once you got into the profession, was it what you thought it would be?
Yes and no. I didn't realize how much politics played a part, and I had no idea the amount of paperwork that was involved.
That's a common answer when I ask that question.
Yeah, you know, I think until you're there, you know, you get your perceptions from TV or whatever. And so there was some, you know, chasing bad guys and helping people. And, you know, that's all good stuff. That's what you expect, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's all the back end stuff too that people just don't see and they're not completely unaware of. So yes and no, I guess would be the best answer I have.
Was it a big adjustment for you once you got into the profession, putting that uniform on as compared to being a civilian?
Not really. Oddly enough, it just felt right. You know, once I had that uniform on, it was just, you know, I had a little bit deeper sense of pride. I've always been very patriotic, so it gave me a little bit of extra love for my country to be able to serve my community and, you know, fight the good fight. It just felt right. It wasn't much of an adjustment, really.
Okay. Any other family members in law enforcement?
Nope, not at all.
What did your parents say or how did they feel when you told them you were thinking about going into the profession?
Probably pretty typical. Well, I had thought about going into the military, and that was not a popular thought. And then when I talked to them about going into the police academy, my dad thought it was very cool. And I grew up with guns and all that. And so he just was like, yeah, let's go get the bad guys. And, you know, my mom, of course, she was worried. And throughout the years being on afternoon shift, every night I had to text her, I'm home safe. And Oh my gosh, if it was 2:30 a.m. and I had not texted her yet, she was texting me and I'm like, I'm at the station, I'm writing reports. So it wore on her, I think, more than it did me sometimes, but she doesn't have to worry anymore. So I'm glad.
Yeah. Mom will be mom, that's for sure. I mentioned in the introduction that you were a wellness coach. Can you explain the difference between a wellness coach and a therapist?
Absolutely. So I'm not a clinician. I don't have a medical model, but I have a lot of experience and certifications and training in wellness. And that's mostly based in yoga, meditation, different holistic methods of emotional regulation, or, you know, regulating adrenaline dumps and activating your parasympathetic nervous system, working with your vagus nerve. So rather than like psychotherapy, I focus more on the mind and body connection and really help to get people grounded and kind of just come home and back to themselves and have a deeper sense of self-awareness. I think as law enforcement, we kind of tend to lose that. You know, we become hyper-vigilant and we're super aware of everything going on outside of us because that's what keeps us alive, that we kind of numb out what's going on the inside. And so that's kind of what I help to do, is to give you the ability to see what's going on the inside and really navigate through that.
Do you work with all first responders or just law enforcement?
All first responders. And I actually have clients that are military as well. I don't have a military background, but a lot of the trauma responses that we have are very similar. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I have clients who are EMTs, firefighters. We all experience very similar things. So,
yeah. What's one of the biggest, I don't want to say problems, but what's the biggest thing that you help most of your clients with? What is one thing that most of your clients have in common when it comes to the mental health side or just the mental well-being side of law enforcement?
Interestingly, childhood trauma. It is so much of how we operate in the world today, or as adults, I should say, stems from things that we went through as kids that formed and shaped how we perceive things. And so I do some inner child work and kind of help to go back and heal those things that gave them the foundation that they have. And then they can kind of work up through, you know, all the things that they've dealt with as an adult. And then they can start to make the connection of, you know, why did I perceive this way? Why did this affect me this way when it affected the person next to me in a different way? So I've found that to be the common denominator.
Now, do you work with departments or one-on-one, or what's your program?
Yeah, so I do. I have one-on-one clients that I coach, and then I have an agency training called Beat the Burnout that I, you know, offer to mostly local agencies, but I could do it on Zoom if I had to, and kind of give them like a broad overview of how to scan the body, how to figure out what's going on inside, and then how to regulate that.
What do you mean by scan the body?
So to come into the present moment, to come into yourself instead of focusing on all the things around you, coming to a place where you feel safe mentally, and you can kind of just get very grounded and see, you know, what you're feeling. Are you feeling anxious? Are you feeling sad? And so it's kind of just tapping into your feelings, which, you know, we don't have those in law enforcement, but we do. It's, but it's really just becoming aware of what you're feeling. You know, are you able to take a full deep breath, or are you breathing shallow? Are you feeling tense in your shoulders or in your hips? All of those things mean something. The body keeps the score. And we experience a lot as first responders and as law enforcement, and we hold it all in our body. And the more that you can become aware of what's going on, the better ability you have to heal from it and deal with it.
How long have you been doing this?
So ironically, I've been kind of doing this for a little while, but I just launched my business in May and it has really taken off. So thank you. I wanted to do just a yoga business. and have a division for first responders. It really, it all naturally just pivoted. And so here I am, and it's just for first responders now. And it's really resonating with people. And I'm so glad.
Awesome. That's great. I want to go ahead and get into my first segment. And this kind of ties into a little bit of what we were talking about. My first segment here is what I call Dig Deeper. For those that have never listened to the podcast, Dig Deeper is where I get nosy and I go poking around my guests' social media, and I find certain posts and I craft questions around those posts. And AK, the first post of yours I came across, this was a Instagram post, and it was a picture of you in your uniform. It looks like a department photo, and it was a post in honor of National Police Women's Day. And the caption was, "In honor of National Police Woman Day, I am remembering my years in uniform. While in college at 19 years old, I began assisting in undercover investigations. The next year at just 20, I attended the police academy. I finished my bachelor's, and just 2 days after I received my degree, I began working finally for income as a deputy sheriff. I love my job. I was proud to wear the uniform. I was proud to serve my community. I also have a very big heart and entered into this job with some heavy unhealed wounds." Now, there was a lot more to that post, but I want to focus on that part there for a minute. And obviously, you remember that post.
Yes.
Okay. And my question regarding the unhealed wounds, how are you doing now?
I'm doing great. Like I said, the body keeps the score, and we carry things with us. And one of the biggest things I think was, when I was 17, my lifelong best friend committed suicide.
Okay.
And, you know, I really hadn't processed that. When I went into the job just a couple years later, I kind of skated over it and thought, oh yeah, I'm over it. It's fine. I'm sad, but, you know, it's okay. Well, 14 years later, you know, it still had affected me very deeply. And so I have been on this journey for quite some time to heal and learn from it. And it took me a long time to process the survivor's guilt and not seeing the signs. But I have really dedicated my life to helping other people who might be experiencing similar things to what she may have been feeling. And that has really, really helped me to get through. I've done a lot of work to make that happen. And so, yeah, thank you for asking. I'm doing much better.
Good. And if you're not comfortable with talking about any of this, just say so. I totally get it and I understand. But I'm
an open
firm
book. So.
Okay. And that's awesome, because I believe that I've said this so many times on the podcast, but I'm a firm believer that we all have a story for a reason. And our stories are our testimonies. And, you know, our darkest days can be someone else's light. To hear that you're an open book is great, because the things that you went through, I guarantee you there is someone out there that needs to hear those, because I'm sure there are probably others going through something similar. And to hear how you overcame that, you know, is part of why I enjoy doing this podcast, because I like to get to know the human side of law enforcement officers. And part of that human, like you said, we don't show our feelings. So part of being a human is having feelings. And that's why I started this podcast, because I want to get those feelings out, because there are a lot of great stories, a lot of sad stories that other people need to hear, because there are other officers going through a lot of similar things. And a lot of times, you know, like you said, we don't show those feelings, and we're too proud or too afraid or whatever the reason is to let those feelings out. But to hear someone like yourself go through something and then step up and try to help others is a great feat. And I take my hat off to you for sharing your pains with others so that they can heal. And that's awesome. Now, I mentioned that you left the profession in 2020. Was that incident when you were younger, was that a large part of it, or was there something more?
Well, so I came into the job with PTS, and I didn't know that. I left full-time law enforcement in 2015, and then I became a criminal court victim advocate for a few years, and I tried really hard. I left in 2015 because my PTS and my adrenal fatigue was just through the roof. And through being a criminal court victim advocate, that gave me the time and the space to become a yoga instructor and go back and get my master's degree and all of that. But through that time, I tried really hard to stay in uniform as a special deputy, as an auxiliary officer. And I found that my PTS just wouldn't let me do it. Mm-hmm. I could put in a shift here and there, but it was hard. And since then, in that time, I became a mother. And so that kind of just doubles down on the hypervigilance because, you know, I have to come home to my kid, you know?
Yeah.
And so it changed some things. And so finally at the end of last year, I just decided I was done trying to be in uniform and I could serve in a different way. And so here I am.
Yeah. And, you know, and I'm a firm believer once again, that everything happens to us for a reason. And the fact that, you know, unfortunately you went through this incident, this, what you're doing now, I have to assume is what you would call your life purpose. I believe it's probably more than a passion. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like that.
You're spot on there. Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like, you know, that I can see it. You light up when you talk about it, and that's awesome. So police work, you know, it just gave you that vehicle for your passion or your real life purpose. Yeah. Yeah. And that's awesome. I want to ask you about another post here. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Going back to the previous post, was there a moment that you realized, okay, this is it. I'm done with law enforcement. Was there one particular moment, or was it just an accumulation of everything?
I think I just saw myself transitioning into serving in a different way. Okay. I had a new perspective on life. I had new trainings and experiences, and I had changed as a person. So I just found that it wasn't serving me to serve in that way anymore. And so I needed to move on.
Next question next post I want to ask you about is another Instagram post. And this was a TikTok video, and you were wearing a pink pullover with a baseball cap. And the caption was, it was a video. The caption was, being a female officer in law enforcement, are you going to cry about it or boss up? You recall that post?
I do.
Okay. And my first question around that post is, when was the last time you cried?
This morning. I'm not even going to lie to you. It was a good cry. It was a happy cry, but it...
Okay.
It was a shower moment. I'll just say that. It was a good, happy cry. I had a lot of wild things happen this week, and one of them was I ended up landing a spot, like a last minute spot. The founder of the Save a Warrior Project, Jake Clark, reached out to me on Monday and asked if I had ever attended. And I said, no, I'm not military. And he said, well, we accept law enforcement too. And yesterday I got the call. And so Sunday through Wednesday, like in 3 days, I'm leaving to go to the Save a Warrior Project. And so I kind of just got overwhelmed. And I'm thrilled. But that was a shower moment this morning.
That's awesome. Congrats. Are you going to be speaking or just attending?
Just attending. Okay. I hope that, you know, maybe someday I could be one of their shepherds, they call them. It's, you know, a peer alumni. But yeah, I just think it's going to be an incredible experience. And, you know, I don't think you ever fully unpack all of your stuff, but you know, if it can further me in my journey, then it will probably benefit all of my clients and everybody else that I'm training. And so, you know, you can only give your best if you're being your best. And so if it helps me enhance that, then I'm all in.
That's awesome. If you have to cry, there's nothing wrong with tears of joy. So that's great. Congratulations. Next question around that post. What would you say was the hardest part about being a female in this profession?
You know, I never really saw it as any more of a challenge. The way I saw it, we all wear the same uniform. Maybe the only hard part was the fact that I'm only 5'2". And when I was serving, I was only like 125 pounds. So that may have been a little more difficult at times, but there were times where my size became an advantage because I could pop through a window or, you know, into a crushed car to get somebody out, you know, much easier than other people could. So I didn't really see it as any harder. It just came with a different set of challenges.
Yeah, it's funny because when I worked, I often had a female partner. And one of the things that I recognize between having a female partner and a male partner very quickly, especially like at domestics or something like that, or something where it's a confrontation, the female officer usually was able to calm the situation quicker and easier than I was. And I remember, you know, certain domestics we would go on and, you know, the husband or the male would be yelling at me and cursing at me, cussing me out, you know, because we're two males. And, you know, and because of that, I'm yelling and cussing back and all of this stuff, you know, and then she would say something and he would, oh, baby, I'm sorry. You know?
Yeah. And you know what? I think that there's absolutely something to that. You know, I would like to think I was very good at de-escalating situations. And, you know, you always have that officer, every shift has one that like, they're like, I'm en route. And you're like, no, I've got to stay where you are. Like, please, because you know, the second they show up, it's escalating. But no, I really do believe that. I think it's just a different energy. And I think it just is kind of a cultural thing too. You know, some of these guys, you know, just for example, on a DV call, you know, they might beat up on their girlfriend, but they're not going to beat up on their mom. And so when another female in a somewhat authoritative position comes up, they might see that person as their mom or whatever. And so it's a weird energetic exchange that it is. It's just different. And so I have noticed that for sure.
Yeah. When you mentioned about that one person showing up on your runs, it immediately brought up a young lady. She was my sergeant actually. And I loved her to death, but man, I hated when she came to my runs because I don't know what her deal was, but I never forget a buddy of mine, you know, we got sent to this domestic. It was just verbal. And we went there twice that night, and the husband was just completely intoxicated, and he was just being a total asshole, and he didn't want to listen. But finally, we got him to calm down, and and we end up leaving. He actually ended up falling asleep while we were there. He was that drunk, and we end up leaving. And about an hour and a half later, we get dispatched back there. So we was like, "Look, man, we don't want to have to keep coming back here. Is there someplace you can go for the night?" And he agreed to leave. And all of a sudden we heard the door open and here comes the sergeant. And I don't know what she said. The guy had his coat on. He was ready to head out the door. I didn't even hear what she said to him, but all of a sudden he's taking his hat off. He's taking his coat off and he goes, "I'm not going anywhere. And you can thank her."
And I'm just looking at her like, guys that do that.
Yeah, I'm looking at her. I'm like, "What the hell did you say?" Oh man, yeah, that just popped up when you brought that up. I want to ask you one more question about that post.
Sure.
When you boss up, what does it look like?
Oh. I don't even know. I when I feel the need to like put on like the alpha coat, right? Usually my face says it all. Okay. I have very few words, but the words I say, I mean, and you could ask my husband, my face will say it all. Yeah. So it's more of I'm trying to contain myself and you probably should listen.
Yeah. Everybody clear out.
It just comes out. Yes. Yes.
One more post I want to ask you about. And this was a picture of you in a blue top and you had a big smile on your face. And the caption very simply said, "Today I chose happy." You recall that post?
I do.
Okay. My question is, what makes you happy?
My family, my husband, my kid, being able to have, well, and I couldn't do this this business if it wasn't for my husband fully being completely supportive of all my antics. I mean, gosh, we weren't even married. And I was like, I'm going to go back and get my master's degree. I'm going to go get my yoga instructor certificate. And he's like, oh my God, what did I get into?
How long have you guys been married?
You had to ask me that way too quick, didn't you? We got married New Year's Eve of 2016. So almost okay. 5 years.
Got you.
And he is just 1000% supportive of everything that I do. And he backs me 1000%. And so him, of course, and my little boy, he's two, and being able to do what I love and just help people, it just lights me up. Being able to know that everything that I went through was all mm-hmm. for this, and what I'm doing now, just morphing all of that into something great, that's what makes me happy.
Awesome. I want to go ahead and get to my next segment, and this is what I call Random Seven. And these are just seven totally off the wall, random ass questions that are all electronically generated. Okay. So just try to answer them the best you can.
All right.
All right. The first one, what does success look like for you?
Happiness. Just being happy, being able to be truly happy within yourself, not faking it, not throwing it out on social media just because, but just true inner happiness.
And it's hard for some people to find, but it takes a lot to get there for some. But when you get there, it's a great place to be.
Yes.
Next question. What roles does love and affection play in your life?
Well, it's everything. Really, you know, love is our connections to each other. And I think for a long time, I didn't know true connection with other people. I remember mm-hmm. I had that lone wolf mentality. And I kind of kept people at a distance because I think I was afraid for them to see any vulnerability in me. I was afraid to lose them. And so mm-hmm. I really kept a distance. But now that I am able to love myself, I'm able to have these true, meaningful connections with other people. And it's a game changer. It's wild how much that can change. So
that's interesting that you kept people away so that you wouldn't lose them. That's mm-hmm. that's interesting.
So when I was growing up, shortly after my parents got divorced, I lost both my two of my great grandparents, and then I had several other losses while I was a teenager. And I just thought, well, if I don't get close to people, then it won't hurt as much when they go away. Mm-hmm. And there's some logic to that, but at the same time, then you're not even enjoying them while you have them. And so it's just like this balance and this acceptance that is a possibility, but it's also being vulnerable and saying that's a possibility, but I am going to love them anyway.
Yeah.
So
it's crazy, man. I could talk about this stuff all day. Next question. Mm-hmm. When I'm really stressed out, I cope by blank.
Probably eating.
Okay.
I'm a little bit of an emotional eater, so.
What's your go-to?
Either chocolate or nachos. I love some melty cheese and some sour cream and salsa and yeah.
My wife and I were in Aruba about a month ago, and we went to this little place. I can't even remember the name of it, but we got some nachos and man, were they good. They were absolutely fantastic.
It's funny you say that. So my family, we go to Aruba every year. I love Aruba. It is the most, it is like the gem of the earth. It is just the most amazing place.
We went there for our honeymoon 28 years ago, and it was pretty much just a desert at that time. And mm-hmm. when we went back, I mean, I don't know when the last time you were there, but it's, you know, it's obviously in more February. Commercial now. Yeah, it was more commercial now, but literally we stayed at the Holiday Inn back 28 years ago. And along that whole side there in Palm Beach where the Marriott and all of that stuff is near uh-huh. the lighthouse, none of that was there. Yeah. And now even that road leading to those hotels, now they have all the roundabouts uh-huh. and all that stuff. That was all dirt.
Oh, wow. Well, and I believe it because the one whole part of the island is still just desert. And congrats for being married 28 years. That's amazing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we were just talking about this the other day. It's a challenge, you know, anytime anyone's together that long, you know, you're going to have your ups and downs, but we've always been on the same page for the most part. And, you know, we have the same vision and direction. So that helps when things get out of alignment, we can easily put it back. And, you know, not, like I said, nothing's perfect, but we understand that we love each other. We're deeply in love with each other. And, you know, like I say, we're going to have our hiccups, but we get through them.
Good for you. That's so awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. Four more questions here. Would you rather carry around a doll and pretend it's real or talk to yourself out loud in front of others?
Talk to myself out loud.
I told you these were just random ass questions.
I would just walk around and talk to myself and say, self, you need to start doing, you know, and I would just make it funny because, yeah, I think that's the one I would go with for sure.
Yeah, a lot of viral moments there, I'm sure.
Yes.
Next question. Do you believe in love at first sight?
I do. Absolutely.
It was just that when I met my wife.
Yes, same. I don't have time to go into the story of how we started dating, but I absolutely believe that. Yes.
Okay. Next question. If you could sing a duet with anyone, who would it be?
Well, you got me here because I play guitar and sing just for fun. I'm not that great, but I have a deep, deep love for old, old country music. And so without a doubt, Patsy Cline.
I like that. I like that. Mm-hmm. How long have you been playing the guitar?
About 5-6 years. I taught myself and I'm not that great, but it was actually something that I was in a very dark time in my life. And it was just something to focus on and distract myself. And so within 3 or 4 months, I really dove into it. And that's like all I did for a couple months. And it was kind of a coping thing for me. And it just, I love to just break out the old six string every once in a while and play a little tune. And, you know, it just feeds my soul.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all. Last question. How often do you check your social media?
A whole lot more than I would like to. I actually got off, I got off of Facebook for like almost a year. And then I decided to start my business and probably at least once an hour. And I hate even saying that because I'm not a huge fan of technology and stuff. But it's also a way for me to connect with other people and to help other people heal. And so, you know, I deal with it as a vehicle for that, but I check it way more than I'd like to.
Yeah, I hear you. It's a necessary evil, unfortunately, especially for, you know, those trying to build a business. I want to go ahead and get to my last segment. This is what I call this or that. And I'm going to give you two topics. You simply have to pick one without thinking about it. And you don't have to explain why. This is like my rapid fire round. All right. First one. Breakup, text or in person?
In person.
Vintage or modern?
Vintage.
Free coffee or free Wi-Fi?
Coffee.
Truth or dare?
For sure. Dare. Always a dare.
Okay. Babies or old people?
Oh. Can I have both?
Sure.
Okay.
Take a back road or familiar route?
Back road. Scenic route all the way.
Spontaneous or planner?
That's a really tough one. You know, it's kind of, this is going to sound so weird. I'm more of a planner, but I literally will plan out time to be spontaneous, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah, it makes totally good sense. Yeah. I get it. I totally get that.
I will plan out, you know, time to just, you know, like have just a day. And my husband and I did this a couple weeks ago. He took a day off and I was like, all right, so what do you want to do? So we kind of planned time to be spontaneous, kind of half and half on that one.
Yeah, yeah. Flat tire or run out of gas?
Flat tire, because I can fix the tire, but I'd have to walk for gas, and that just doesn't sound like fun.
Unfortunately, I've been in both, and you're right. Phone call or text?
Ooh, it depends on who's on the other side. Usually prefer a phone call, but sometimes things are easier said in text.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely agree with that. last one, bad breath or body odor?
Oh, neither. You know what? I'm going to go with bad breath since everybody's wearing masks these days.
There you go. There you go. AK, young lady, it was a pleasure speaking with you. I thank you for coming on the podcast and kicking it with me. If you can just do me a favor, if you can give out all your social media and your website and all that stuff so people can reach out and find out what you got going on.
Absolutely. And thank you for having me. This has been a lot of fun. So the best way for anybody to find me is at my website, lifesaverwellness.com. So think about not lightsaber, because that's been a confusion, but all of the, you know, first responders are out there saving lives. So lifesaverwellness.com. My social media is linked up there. I'm on Facebook and Instagram, as well as LinkedIn. And it was a secret that I was on TikTok, but that's been exposed now. So it's easy. Just go to the website. Everything's right there. And I welcome anybody and everybody that could use some healing. So
awesome. And guys, I'm going to put links to all of her stuff down in the show notes. So please go over and check her out. Reach out to her if you're in need of her services. Follow her on social media and check out all the stuff that she's sharing. And any last words before we get out of here?
I just encourage people to take the time to take care of themselves. As first responders, we are so focused on helping other people. It's just in our nature. But, you know, like I said, you can only give as much as you fill up on your own end. So, you know, just really take the time to take care of yourselves. It's completely worth it.
Well said. Guys, on that note, I appreciate you all listening. AK, once again, I appreciate you taking time out of your day to come on the podcast to talk to me. Again, I'm going to put links to all of her stuff down in the show notes. So please go over and support her. Check out what she has going on. And you guys, if you have not heard about my new platform, the LEOHub.com, it's a place that I've put together just for law enforcement officers and supporters so that we can stop having our stuff shadowed, banned, and all of that other good stuff that the other platforms like to do to us. Please go over and check it out. It's free to join. That's the LEOHub.com. And I will see you guys on the next episode. Everybody stay safe, and I'll talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.